It's Sunday afternoon. That must mean it's official catch-up podcast recording. I'm joined, as ever, by Chris. Chris, what's happening?
Yeah, not much. Obviously, massive cup games at the weekend. South Challenge Cup, one of the... Is it the largest non-league cup competition now? I would say so. Obviously, you've got your Scottish Junior Cup as well, but not everyone's involved like previous years. We often talk about topical things. Did you watch the Dispatches last night?
God, yeah. Are we going to do that?
Yeah, let's not go too serious into it, but...
I mean, let's be honest. Is anyone shocked that Russell Brand's a bit of a fucking dodgy geezer? I'm not. And I'm a massive Russell Brand fan. I've been a big fan of Russell Brand for a long time. But none of that shocked me, to be fair. It's a shame. Absolutely disgrace. But, yeah, no big surprises for me.
I honestly never used to like Russell Brand. It wasn't until... See, I'm a type of person that I don't watch anything that I know that I'm going to dislike. So I used to just avoid Russell Brand altogether. And then it wasn't until one of my friends was like, nah, you need to watch this film. And it was Get Him to the Greek.
Oh, yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And then eventually I watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall as well. And but Russell Brand, I've never really liked him. A bit like James Corden, I know a lot of people... You know, it's a bit of a meme to dislike him now, but I've always disliked him. I didn't like him in that Gavin and Stacey, which made him famous. I couldn't stand him, honestly. But obviously, I was a lot talked about and there was a lot of different views. We'll not discuss our own, obviously, because it's not that type of podcast, Ben, but we do talk about topical stuff. But one thing that struck me in that documentary, right, is Dispatches, it's Channel 4, and they were like, Channel 4 didn't find any evidence, and then they're doing a Dispatches on Channel 4. It's like, I think you're defeating your own point here. First time in a documentary I've seen that, I think it was just a bit odd.
it's a bit strange. I mean, back in the very, very early days of Twitter, I was part of a wee community that was like all Russell Brand fans, and we'd go to like kind of like meetups before gigs and stuff like that, and there'd be like wee event things, and we'd talk about Russell Brand and things he was doing in terms of films and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. I was a big fan. I got to know a lot of people from... I mean, I'm not in contact with any of them from anymore, but certainly there was a lot of people and a lot of females that were really interested in Russell Brand for various reasons. And I just hope that none of them were harmed in any way that has been talked about, because they were all good people and, I say, part of my life at one point, and it's a shame, but totally not expected as far as I'm concerned. I'd heard things in the past, and I know a few comedians that kind of suggested that he was kind of like that, and yeah, and it's a shame, but as you say, we'll keep our opinions to ourselves. We're a football podcast. We're here to talk about non-league football, and this week we have, I guess it's a South Challenge Cup special, if you like. Chris, there was a whole catalogue of games in the second round. I'm going to spare you the entire run-through of the results. You can find them on social media if you want to find the entire results. But we'll go through some of the games that took place, involving, I guess, West teams, East teams, Lowland League teams and South teams. Will be a bit of everything. There'll be some shocks to discuss. Chris, we'll definitely gloss over the Gretna result. There's no point talking about that. There's nothing to say there, let's be honest. We'll pass on that completely. But Gretna won yesterday, so fair play to them. But we'll start with a team involving a Lowland League side, East Stirlingshire, beating Sauchie Juniors 2-1, Chris.
It was an interesting one, given the fact that Sauchie haven't been great, East Stirlingshire haven't been great in their respective leagues, I think it's fair to say. And it was East Stirlingshire that came out on top. Obviously, Ross Kavanagh getting the goal for Sauchie, but there was I don't know if you've seen the goal, but Jack Hodge scored an absolute perfect peach of a goal. You can actually hear it. You can actually hear how well he connects with it, and he scored an absolute belter there. And then Jamie Penker, I think... This is going to sound really ominous, but I was actually thinking about Jamie Pinker recently, believe it or not, just like a few days leading up to the Cup game, because I said something, I think, last week where I thought Shire probably been missing that goal threat, and then I thought to myself, they have Jamie Pinker, but he has been playing, but he's maybe not I don't know in terms of the role that he's playing, but he's certainly not been getting goals. So I was really happy to see him on the score sheet on Friday, given that Jamie Penker is a really good goal scorer, a really good forward. I think he just needed that confidence, maybe that confidence from a goal, basically. And hopefully that spurs him on to get a few more. But I think it's tough to judge forward sometimes, because if the team's not playing well and they're in the back foot, I mean, they have to make the most of their chances. And if it's a possible case that he's not getting lots of chances in games, so it's maybe been a deterrent there. But it's a good one for East Lancashire. I think a much needed one. I think there's a few teams on the list that got cup wins in the cup that probably need it. Just to raise the morale, I guess, from the league campaigns, and certainly East Lancashire were one of them. Sockey, yeah, it's not going great for them this season so far, and it's surprising given the fact that, yeah, we thought they were going to be favourites and certainly up there in the East of Scotland, and it's not happening at the moment.
Yeah, I think the thing about for Sockey for me is that we always talk about them being that cup team, and we can expect them to be the team that kind of raises a game in cup competitions and probably takes we call it a scalp, beating a team like East Lancashire in the old-fashioned way, a team above the league above them is seen as a scalp. And probably would normally expect Sockey. I mean, if you'd said at the start of the season, Sockey versus East Lancashire, probably fancy Sockey to win that game. But it is probably systematic of their season so far that they've went out of the cup so early. East Lancashire obviously need to look and use that as a springboard to kind of get their season going, because we've talked about them obviously from a lower league perspective, been pretty poor so far and struggled a bit. Obviously the new manager coming in and stuff like that obviously had taken a bit of time to adapt maybe to the team and the new players that have come in, obviously the players that they have lost as well, which are probably the main one being Ross Connolly, goalkeeper, is a big loss to East Lancashire. So yeah, I think disappointed for Sockey, but it's a good win for Shire, and as I say, hopefully they can build on that. Next game we're probably going to jump about a bit between West, East, South and Lowland, no particular order of this, we're just going through the fixtures, but the one we'll go to next, Chris, is Troon 1, Craigmark Buntonians 1, and it was decided on a 8-7 penalty shootout to Troon. Troon being pushed second division side in the West of Scotland.
Yeah, one thing I don't think we touched on last week was the fact that Chris Miller retired, obviously, leaving Troon. I think he only signed started this season.
Last season, yep. From ourselves, yeah. He was at Buffs last season, yeah.
Yep, and he's now assistant manager at Clyde, and we'll probably touch on Clyde a wee bit later if we discuss another team. But yeah, they're in a bad shape, obviously. So hopefully the experience of Chris Miller helps them. But a big miss in terms of a player for Troon. Obviously, you rate him having played for the Buffs, and you talked about him, Chris, a lot last year in the podcast about how good he is and the experience he brings. So it's a tough one for Troon because they have lost a few players. Obviously, Chris Miller, we mentioned Sam Jamieson.
Elite striker, Sam
Jamieson. Yeah. So they have lost a few players recently, and it's weird. I find it really hard to judge Troon at this precise moment because I don't think they're overly struggling in the West of Scotland. But I don't see them being pushing like we have seen in previous seasons. So to draw with Craigmark, it's probably, I mean, fair enough, they got the win, but you'd probably expect better from Troon there. But I've not really got much to say on them, because I do find them really hard to judge, and probably one of the minority West of Scotland teams that I just don't have much to say on them.
I think the thing about Troon was that I think they played a lot of their 20 side, maybe. I'm just trying to find the lineup for sure, but I think there was quite a few. Oh, no, right enough. There was a mixed bag. I mean, looking at the team, there's probably
Mark Shanklin was playing.
There's a few names that I don't recognise, guys that you've probably not heard of or seen in the past, but certainly, yeah, good enough side. Looks like there was still a few senior players playing, a few players completely not in the team. But yeah, I think it's a kind of team. I guess we talk about that kind of they'll be fine kind of category. And you probably think of Trun as that. We talk about in the Lowland League quite a bit, but probably find that Trun are that kind of side. They're probably a team that are not going to challenge, but they're probably not a team that are going to get relegated. You know, they're probably a solid mid-table West Scotland Premier League team at the moment. I would say I don't see them pushing on, but certainly Craig Mark, fair play. They've obviously pushed Trun all the way there in terms of that performance. And Craig Mark are a decent side. I think Cadis is kind of always kind of hinted as maybe being someone who will move up in terms of management from Mark to a bigger team. And I know from speaking to different people, he does want to do that himself. But certainly Craig Mark are no mugs. They've got some good players. I know they've got Stephen Tan, who played for the Buffs a few years back in midfield.
Yep.
He's a good player.
He got the goal.
He scored, yeah. He's a solid midfielder, good in the ball, and he's very decent. Buffs under 20s coach Jordan Hendry plays him as well. He's a good player. I think he plays he's a defender, but certainly talented. I've just noticed they've got Brandon McAvoy, who was also at Quinn Rangers last season. He plays left back, so they've got some talented players there. Guys that obviously Ryan Cadis is in the squad as well. Ryan Cadis is the manager, sorry, Liam Cadis is the player I'm thinking of. I think we'll come on to a team probably at some point soon who have lost their manager. There's been a few kind of changes in the managerial front in the West in the last few weeks, and I'm sure we'll come on to that. But we'll move on to another game in the South Challenge Cup, and we'll jump to a game involving a Scotland team, Abbey Vale 7, Royal Albert 2. Convincing win for Abbey Vale. Royal Albert, not a great side, I would say, in terms of the West. They're probably one of the poorer teams in the West of Scotland, but Abbey Vale turning up and doing the job there.
7-2 after extra time, I believe. Quite unbelievable. Finished 2-2 after 90 minutes, and then Abbey Vale just turned it on. Crazy.
Well, they turned it on. I had to get five in half an hour.
There's a couple of guys, obviously. I know a fair bit about Abbey Vale, obviously, kind of following them last year, and obviously there's a few players that I like. I'll keep mentioning my man, Aidan Kerr, but, you know, Sam Hughes is a really good player for that level. I think he got the first equaliser, because they were actually chasing the game a wee bit, Abbey Vale. And and then Robbie Simpson taps in the other equaliser, and then it goes to extra time, and then Abbey Vale just again, Sam Hughes, Lewis Downey, these sort of guys. Dylan Bruce, I think, had a decent game as well. So, I mean, it's I don't know if it was just, you know, one goal going in, and then the other, and then the other, and then it, obviously suddenly Royal Albert are, you know, finished. it's crazy. Yeah, once it's lost, it's lost. They probably played well in the 90 minutes, and it's a crazy cup game, that, isn't it, really? For it to be 2-2 at full time, and then to go into extra time, Abbey Vale just run away with it 7-2. It's probably unexpected given the nature of how the 90 minutes went.
No, definitely. I didn't realise it was 2-2 at the end of 90, which is fair play Royal Albert, because I don't rate them highly at all as a team, and probably one of those teams that you go out of fair play, you're still doing it, because I think they're made up of about three people in the committee, and it's probably a bit of a chore and a slog to try and it's those teams you've got to respect, I think, in a lot of ways, as clubs, to they're still keeping their hand in. But yeah, take Abbey Vale to two each, and Abbey Vale, we know, are a good side. You mentioned the players there, that they are a good side in the South. Talking about shocks, and it maybe isn't a shock really, but we'll call it a shock, and say in that old fashioned scalp kind of way. Drumchapel United won at Drossin 2. At Drossin went in Rovers, are a side that I think I've talked about them plenty in this podcast, and how they look very good and got some very good players. They're doing really well under Gavin Friels, and Drumchapel, make no bones about it, a team that spend money and this level of football and have good individual players, but they're very much a team that on their day this could happen to, you know. But credit to Dawson. Got to say, there, I really do rate them, and not overly shocked about the result. But as I say, in the old-fashioned scalp, it's seen as a scalp because they're what division below Drumchapel.
We've often talked about Drumchapel on this podcast. We do rate them, obviously, as you mentioned, because they do spend money. We often think they're going to be, you know, one of the top teams in the first division, but they do have a problem with consistency. There's some results you look at, and like you look at the team and look who they're facing and think they should have won that. Ardrossan might be an exception, just because I do rate Ardrossan similar to yourself, Ben. But yeah, I mean, you would still expect probably Drumchapel to get the result there, but they're not consistent. We often, when we talk about lone league teams, talk about consistency, but it applies to some other teams that we talk about in the west of Scotland, east of Scotland, obviously. And Drumchapel are definitely one that are just, for whatever reason, they can't maintain good form. We saw it a wee bit last year, because I always thought Drumchapel, you know, when they had David Templeton and guys like that, you know, you're thinking to yourself, oh, he's going to light up the league, and it doesn't always happen. But they should be doing better as a team, let's face it. And yeah, the result doesn't really shock me, though, just because it was Ardrossan, who are a good team in their own right. And for me, it will be challenging to get into the first division next season.
Yeah, I think so. They're on the top already, as I think they've been improving. They've got a nice ground set up in the down at Winton Park. And it's good to have these Ayrshire teams. Obviously, someone who's from Ayrshire likes to keep an eye on what the local teams are up to. And Ardrossan are certainly a team that are on the way up. I would say that's for sure. But yeah, not overly surprised. But yeah, got to respect Drumchapel as a team. I think the thing about them for me a lot of time is they've got individual players, but I feel like that cohesion as a team they sometimes struggle with, and they start to, when the chips are down, they seem to maybe get on at each other, and they seem to maybe not have quite that team aspect of it for whatever reason, and maybe that's what lets them down. I think there's probably a lot of reliance on Jason Marks to score goals as well, which, I mean, fair play to him, he's 42 and he's still banging them in. I think you've seen he got player of the month for Drumchapel during the week there, and he's a talent. He's 42, he's done it all in terms of this level of football, but he's still doing the job, and there's a reliance on him to get the goals. I don't see an awful lot coming from the rest of the players in the team, and if he's maybe not on his day, then that's it. But Ardrossan have quality players, Aidan Ferris, Ryan Wilson, you know, talented boys at this level of football, and yeah, good side, and we'll do well against probably most teams in the first, and probably maybe even some of the Premier teams. I think would give a good account of themselves. So yeah, well, we'll watch out for Ardrossan certainly in the next few rounds of the cup. Next game then, Auchinleck Talbot 1, Blantyre Victoria 0. I mean, this one for me feels like a Auchinleck maybe just kind of scraped through a little bit on a 1-0 win. I'd expect Auchinleck to be turning Blantyre over pretty well, but I think it's probably, again, comes back to Auchinleck's kind of problems that they're having this season as a team. That they only win this game 1-0, they'll just be glad to get through, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, we've talked often about Auchinleck, even so early into the season. Well, not really so early, actually. We're now in September. It's flying in, I suppose. But they'll just be happy to get over the line there. Auchinleck, a team that, or sorry, I should say a club and a fan base that expects to win trophies. So this is no different. They won this competition, two seasons ago? So yeah, it's not going great in the league. Obviously, they can turn it around. We saw it last year. Probably kind of worse off in the league than they were last year, as we've mentioned before. But a few cup trophies, I'm sure, will appease the fans there. I'm not sure how much it did last year in terms of, I think they won the West of Scotland sort of League Cup or whatever. So were the fans happy with just that? Or, I mean, they did make a comeback in the league, so.
Yeah, I think they're probably one of those ones that the fans realise, maybe are starting to realise maybe that they're in a bit of a rebuild kind of transition period. The players have obviously left, they've talked about a lot in this podcast, and they're going with that kind of youth element of players just now, which is a gamble for any team. I think you can say that. I think that's the thing. It could have worked out really well, and maybe just a wee bit of a struggle for Auchinleck. But again, I'd say he'd be happy enough to be through at this point in the round. So the second round of the cup, there's a long way to go in the cup competition. Auchinleck and Lecca can play in cup competitions. They're well known for winning these kind of competitions in the past. So they'll be glad to be in the hat tonight for the draw. But certainly we'll be keeping close tabs on Auchinleck, I'm sure, over the course of this podcast and future episodes. Next one then, Shots Bonacord 3, Bowness Athletic 3, Shots Bonacord winning on penalties 4-3. Obviously, it's an East versus West, Chris. Probably teams that are probably quite evenly matched. We obviously know Bowness have lost a few players from their kind of league winning side from last season. But yeah, close game. Oh, plenty of goals.
Yeah, Shots. I really rate Shots. I think I've mentioned it before. I think they're a really decent team. Bowness, as you mentioned, they lost their front trio of, you know, TV, who went to Kelty. Obviously, Grant Rose, I think, went to Hermes. I think he moved up north or something. Dylan Patterson, obviously, went to Linlithgow Rose. So they have lost a lot of their mainstays, I guess. Yeah,
120 odd goals, whatever it was, they scored between them.
They brought in Shearer from Kelty on loan, a really good sort of young under-20s player. Well, don't know if we call him an under-20s player because he did play 9 times in League One last year. So, I mean, if he can get them goals, that'll be great. But, yeah, on paper, it's not a massive shock given that I do really rate Shots. I probably rate Shots maybe higher than you, Ben, but I don't know. There's something about them that always seem to pop up and they always seem to be doing well from what I see anyway. So I do like Shots, I must admit, and the West-East thing, obviously, it's one of, I guess, many that we talk about. So, yeah, good result for Shots there.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Shots fairly recently. I didn't think they were that good. I thought they were all right. And then I felt to me as if at the time they were kind of top of the table, I think, or second or something like that, when we played them. And we ended up drawing with them one each. But I felt to myself that, If that's the best team in division, or the second best team in division, we weren't miles away in terms of being that team. And yeah, I mean, it's a decent result. I mean, it's like both teams, probably say for me, probably quite evenly matched. I wouldn't say that Bowness are probably a million miles away from where Shots are at, but yeah, it's one of those ones that it's one of those East versus West games, and the West team just comes out on top this time. There's no as if they've blown MD away in that regard. So yeah, it'll be an interesting to see how Shots can go in this competition. Next game then, Cumnock Juniors 0, Hereford United 2. Cumnock, like I think we've talked about in plenty of episodes, going through a bit of turmoil. John Doyle left the club during the week, and former assistant manager Tony Aitchison comes in as kind of, I think he's in his interim boss at the moment. I've seen Cumnock posted about looking for a new manager taking the application. So it'll be interesting to see who goes to Cumnock. But they're in a bit of a mess right now, Cumnock, I would say. Hereford playing pretty well at the moment. They're starting the season quite brightly, which is a bit of a surprise. However, they did make some good signings through the summer. I think they got David Wilson from Broomhill. Yep. Lewis Morrison came in full-time or a transfer rather than a loan from Darvo, and he makes a big difference to the Hereford side, and they've absolutely dusted Cumnock by all accounts. It didn't sound like too much happening for Cumnock.
Yeah, Lewis Morrison, obviously, he's the main man in terms of goals. Paul McKenzie getting the second as well. And you mentioned, obviously, David Wilson. I believe he was man of the match, clean sheet, and a few saves. He wasn't completely quiet on the day against Cumnock, but we almost felt like this was coming, didn't we, when we mentioned Cumnock? We yep. Kind of talked up the start of the season, things didn't feel the same. Obviously, it's going to be different under a new manager, but certainly things behind the scenes didn't seem right. Jordan Moore leaving, obviously. Is Kyle McCausland still there? I don't even know.
I don't know what's happened with Kyle McCausland because I haven't seen him play. He's not been in a starting lineup at all. There's been no mention about him on social media or anything. I don't know if he's disappeared or what's happened with Kyle, or he's maybe stopped playing football or what. But I mean, he is a big miss. I think from that perspective, he's a massive loss to the team. He's one of the probably one of the best centre backs in the league, if not the best centre back in the league, I would say, for me. He's right up there with some of the guys that we've, you can probably try to think of the best players. Like, you look at Callum Gow, probably one of the top centre halves in place of Pollock. David Syme's going to be in that conversation for Darvo, and Kyle is definitely one of those guys in that kind of that conversation. But yeah, I don't know what's happened. He'll be a massive loss. I think, I don't know if Jared Willett's been playing either. He's the left back, came from Irvine Meadow, very, very good left back. And probably, again, talking about, if you're looking at individual positions and players in the league and you go that, well, who's the best left back in the league? You're probably going to chuck Jared's name in there quite a lot. I think he was maybe just looking at team news there. He was actually playing on Saturday, but I think he hasn't been playing a lot of games for Cumnock. But yeah, it's just going from bad to worse at Cumnock, I think, at the moment. It doesn't shock me at all, again, that John Doyle's left. When I seen that appointment, I wasn't really impressed by it. I don't think he's done anything overwhelmingly good. And Cumnock are a big side, you know, they're a big club, got a budget there, he spent some money. And as you say, they lost Jordan Moore, which is a massive loss to any team. Again, we're talking about players and individuals, and for a second, is Jordan Moore worth 20 grand? Probably not. Like, I mean, in this level of football, the money that's getting chucked about in terms of transfer fees is bonkers. And Jordan's probably not a 20 grand player, but is he a 10 grand player? Probably, you would say so, yeah. But where we're at, he's going to be... Darvo obviously have that kind of money and prepare to spend it. And Cumnock are not going to say no to 20 grand for any player, unfortunately, no matter who it's for. Where they're going, so yeah, I just don't know where Cumnock go. That vacancy now comes up. It's, as I say, it's a big job. Who do you think realistically wants that job now? That it's a big kind of rebuild job, probably quite similar to what Auchinleck need and are going through. Any names you can think of, Chris, that could stick out to take that job?
Gordon Pope just left Whitsluts. not a guy I'd probably necessarily put in the hat there, but I'm not actually sure. I think most of the managers that I would have mentioned before are already in jobs, have already moved in the summer, or they've came back into football. Brian McGinty, is there a chance that he might come back? Probably not at the moment, given the reasons he left. You know, it's only been a few months, but I mean, that would be a massive boost if Brian could come back, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that they put out a post looking, say, 10 applications, and I would assume if Brian was fit and able to come back in, that wouldn't have been a thing. So they're obviously looking for a manager that either they know that that's not possible, or Brian has said he can't, he's not fit, or whatever it is that he's got going on, which is, it's a shame, because he's a good manager at this level of football, and it would be, and did great things with Cumnock previously. He took them from kind of almost relegation to the Junior Cup final and winning that in, what, 18 months, nearly 2 years, I think it was. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting one, I guess. Thinking of names off the top of my head, Murdy McKinnon is probably be looking at that job. I know he's looked at a few, and he's been keen to get back in. And he's certainly one, I would say, that's probably looking like a potential candidate. Does Tony Aitchison want to take it on himself? Maybe he might be an option. He's been assistant a number of times at Cumnock, and maybe he's looking at that as an option. I mentioned, we talked about Craig Mark earlier on. Is Ryan Caddis maybe looking at that as his step? I mean, I'd always think that, he looks destined to be a manager at a higher level. So maybe that he's looking at that as an option. Gordon Pope, I think, he's obviously a Talbot legend. Does he go to Cumnock? I mean, he probably does if he's got the opportunity, because he's probably had enough at Whitlis, because I think Whitlis have just been going in kind of dire straits for the best part of a year now, and Gordon's done well to stick it out there, I think, personally, because he probably is the kind of guy that could go on and take a job. Is he maybe waiting? I think I always thought Gordon Pope would be the guy that would take over from Tommy Sloan. Yeah, I thought maybe go to Whitlis and do a decent job, learn these kind of craft, if you like, at Whitless, and then when Tommy's ready to chuck it, then Gordon Pope's ready made to come in and step. But I think if that's going to happen at Auchinleck, jumping back to Auchinleck for a second, that probably Stephen White's the guy that's going to do that. He's in the coaching staff just now. He's been around the team. He's obviously taken, he takes training and the warm up and things like that. And
Do you know how many of Tommy Sloan's ex players are now managers? So there's a good few. A massive
there must
list
be
of...
there must be a load. Yeah, definitely. There must be a load in that space, which obviously a testament to Tommy in terms of his coaching and maybe getting the drive to get guys to manage. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out at Cumnock, because I say it as a. It's a big job. Do they go outside the box and go down the route of someone, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know, I'm going to say Kevin Rutkiewicz is a name to just chuck out there, someone who's been out of a job and in the lower league and maybe looking at to try to get back in somewhere. I don't know. I actually seen Kevin Rutkiewicz walking about Glasgow the other day. I didn't, because I think I probably gave him a bit of a hard time this podcast quite a bit towards the end of his East Coast break career. So I just avoided that, to be honest. So it was cutting about, as I say, in the city centre. But it'll be interesting to see how the Cumnock job plays out and who they can get in, because I say there's probably not a lot of managers that are ready there to step in, apart from probably Murdy, I think it's probably the one that you go with that if a Sunday. That is a good
shout, because I think sometimes when obviously Murdy's been out of football for a wee bit, so you sometimes forget about these guys that are actually out of the game, and it's only these kind of recent guys that have maybe not. I mean, obviously Gordon Pope was very, very recently, only resigned what yesterday from Whitlock. So so they're the guys that you think in your mind, but Murdy is a decent shout. Whether he comes back in, and I think that'd be a decent appointment, but it's obviously up to Murdy if he's interested and if Cumnock, you know, want to take that on. But when it comes to manager things, it can be very hard to tell, because it really depends on what the club want. If they're wanting like a serious manager, knows his stuff, blah blah blah, or do they take a chance, like you mentioned, with someone that maybe doesn't know the level as well, but has potential to be to build up connections, for example, and you know, bring in youth players, for example, that from SPFL clubs and whatnot. So it's always a tough task for any club trying to replace a manager. It'd be interesting to see who goes for that, actually.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out, watch this space, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in next week or the week after, depending on how long the recruitment process takes. But we'll get back to the matches at hand, and we'll go on to Maryhill 4, Petershill 1. Again, we're talking about these scalps in the old traditional sense. This is another one, Maryhill in the second division, Petershill in the top end of the first division. A very convincing win for Maryhill.
Shock. That is a shock, really. Yeah, 4-1. I mean, it's just a remarkable scoreline for Maryhill, and it's one that I would never have called, to be honest. There's shocks that we talk about that you might think could happen, but that's just not one that I would have thought happened. Given, I don't know, how do you rate Petershill? You've seen them.
I think Petershill are again probably in that similar kind of bracket to Drumchapel. Struggle with consistency, and I mean, kind of, like, they can be on it and they can be the absolute lights out, but our nights are pretty poor and very average. And when we played them, obviously, we went down to 10 men and kind of dug in and got a result. And I mean, they looked capable, but they weren't any great shakes in terms of, again, coming back to my point about shots. If they're kind of one of the teams at the top end of the table, I just felt that, well, that's good for us. If that's what you've got to compete against, then we as a team going in are not a million miles away from being right in amongst it in terms of the league campaign. So yeah, I mean I thought they'd have enough to beat Maryhill. Maryhill are okay. I mean they're probably again a kind of middle table second division side. They kind of know their limits as well as a team, and I think they were also a bit surprised. I was talking to one of the boys Maryhill last night, and he was kind of bit shocked themselves in terms of getting the result, but a very good win, and they've got some good individual players. I can't remember the names, the name of the goalkeeper they had last season. Maybe I rated him quite highly. I've seen him play against us in one of the cup competitions. Cammy Clark, the boy who plays centre half, thought old fashioned, younger, but he's old fashioned centre half, but he's quite young in terms of in age, and he just kind of did his job pretty well, you know. And that's what I like about Maryhill. Good, good players, good guys that run the club as well, and I like what they're doing. So it's a good result for them. Moving on to next game in the cup, it was Treetown 2, Whitlitz 1. We mentioned Gordon Pope there, having just resigned from Whitlitz Victoria. I guess this was the final nail in the coffin for him, losing to South of Scotland side Treetown.
Yeah, similar to Abbey Vale, like we mentioned, Creetown are obviously a really decent side for the level. Probably would expect Whitlitz to be fair, it was close. I mean, it was literally a header 3 minutes from the end of the extra time, basically, that sees Creetown progress, and it's a tough one. David Hughes obviously getting a winner right the death, pretty much. What can you really say? I think it is disappointing. It will be disappointing for Gordon. I think you're probably right. That is the catalyst for him wanting to resign as manager and maybe move on. I don't know what the expectations are for a lot of these sort of teams. Like, how far is it just a case of how far do we get into the cup? We have seen a few resignations after a few cup games from lower opposition or perceived lower opposition. So I don't know if that's just the final straw. I always find it interesting because I don't really know how to put it in words in terms of what the managers are thinking. But maybe they thought they were going to steamroll Creetown and it would be an easy game to win. But I think if you look around the levels, it is difficult even from, you know, one or two divisions down. Again, it's cup games. It's like who's on it on their day. And Creetown certainly looked like they were not going to be denied at home, you know. But yeah, it's interesting.
I think you probably look at a team like Wellis, you probably look at the cup competitions as something a bit different, something maybe to get you excited. Can you go on a run perhaps and win those kind of one-off ties? The league form obviously isn't very good. I've seen that already this season. And that's maybe what the catalyst has been because, well, I'm now out of the cup. My league form's not great. What else have I got left to really like fight for, you know, in terms of a team? And it's a shame it's ended up like that because, as I say, I rate Gordon Pope. He's a great player in his day when he was... He played against us, actually, when we played with us a few weeks back. He played centre-half. You notice he still had it, you know, he still has the ability. Probably doesn't have the legs, but certainly had, you know, game awareness and still had the left foot that we always know he had, you know, in terms of when he played for Talbot. So, yeah, I mean, he'll come back around again. He'll get another job. He's one of those kind of guys. I'm sure he'll find a job that fits, and he'll be good for that at some point.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me, actually, just a quick note on that. Someone was talking about, like, technical abilities on Football Manager. I don't know if Football Manager is not real life, but it's like they were moaning that, like, someone was, like, 35 or something and their technicals were still as good. It's just like, well, if you think of someone like Lionel Messi, he's not going to forget how to take a free kick. You know, he's still going to have the technical abilities. It's what hampers footballers at that age. And you know, anyone of that age is the physical. You know, you might not be able to do it the same, but you could probably still put in the onion bag if you were doing it for, what, 15, 20 years of your career, eh? So
that's it. I mean, you probably look at a fine example. We'll probably talk about this game just shortly, but Carlo Money still banging in free kicks for Beath, and he's been doing that for probably the best part of his career. You know?
Yeah.
Well known for scoring 35-yard screamers outside the box from a dead ball. So, yeah, they don't lose it. I mean, that's the thing about players and definitely Gordon Pope's in that bracket for sure. Next game then, Bells Hill 3, Dundonald Bluebell 7. This was East versus West with the East team coming out on top. I've got obviously a vested interest in this given we're playing Dundonald Bluebell next Saturday in the Scottish Cup. But an easy win for Dundonald by the sounds of it.
Yeah, lots of goals. I think if you paid your money for that one, you would been fairly chuffed for your value for money, if you will. But yeah, no surprises really in terms of the goal scorers. Daryl Healy, hat-trick. He's the big threat for Dundonald since returning there. Obviously, low on league experience. Scott Jury, I think Lewis McKenzie got a double as well, and Regan Lumpston. So really
just
decent.
Just take my notes for Saturday. letting my manager know. Down Daryl Healy.
The one I think I probably gave you that advice before, Ben, to be honest. he is their main threat. He's well known as being a sort of target man. They do have a few other threats, Dundonald. But I think the good thing for me there, especially in terms of Dundonald, was the fact that it was away from home. They've not always been the strongest team away from home, especially when you get these West, East or South clashes and you're away from home. I think it's tougher to get a result. Whereas if you've got your own sort of fans behind you, it depends though. It depends if you've got a decent travelling support like some teams do, then it's not too much of a bother. But yeah, really good result for Dundonald there. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the cup against Kilwinning.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. I'm definitely looking forward to that game next week, coming through to the Kingdom of Fife. Next game then we'll cover off is Pollock 13, Salco's Victoria 0. Pollock, this is no great surprise for me, to be honest. I think I said when this draw came out that they're probably going to put about 10 past Salco. Salco's to that team, probably in a similar kind of bracket to Royal Albert, on their knees, really struggling, trying to get by. And we've seen what Pollock are doing this season in the league, and no great shocks that they've put 13 past Salco's.
Yeah, one of the appearances tallies, obviously, Jordan Longmore. I think he's 250 Pollock appearance, so nice way to celebrate it. It was pretty decent. Mark McKenzie, obviously, and I don't want to mention all the scorers here, but one person I will mention is Shug Kerr. His first, second, and third goal for Pollock. A really decent turnaround for Shug there. So, or Hugh Kerr, I should say. I think you've called it right. The result's not surprising. I think everyone was in on the act. Obviously, Adam Ford, guys like that. Evan Malley as well. So, all the guys you'd expect to be on the score sheet for Pollock, I think, were on the day. So,
couple of games involving Lowland League sides, Harthill Royal 0, Trent Juniors 3, and Hillabeath Hawthorns 1, Cumbernauld Colts 2. I guess routine results, Chris, for Lowland League sides.
Yeah, we've been talking about Cumbernauld Colts. Obviously, they're doing really well in the league, but we have talked about maybe the rotation. Certainly, it happened in yesterday's cup game, obviously, against Hillabeath. Stephen Kearney, the under-20s goalkeeper, in for Ryan Adamson. I believe Ashley Ballum, who we've often talked about, was in the squad as well. So there's a few changes there, which I think sometimes, obviously, at a higher level, you might see it as a wee bit disrespectful that they're playing like some of these players, but I think it's really good rotation from a few teams at the weekend. Certainly, David Proctor, I think, done the right thing against a Hawes side. I think the amazing thing is, obviously, we talked about Hawes' new management last week. They were down to 10 men. Cumbernauld for the majority of that game. Conor McLaren was sent off just before the break, so Colts had a tough ask to see it out, basically, in the second half. But it's been a really disciplined performance from them in the second half to win there. And yeah, I think everyone done really well. Colts are becoming a really tough team to break down, a really tough team to beat, as we've seen in the league this year. And they're showing that they have got a wee bit of depth with guys like Stephen Kearney coming in, the under-20s keeper. I think that was his first team appearance in a competitive game as well. So, and as I mentioned, guys like Ashley Ballum that can come in as well. So really, really decent performance, especially when you've got 10 men on the park.
No, that's I think we also rate Cumbernauld Colts highly in the start they've had this season, and it's a good one to keep their kind of their interests alive, because I guess we're not too sure that they can keep pace at the top of the league. I think we're probably saying that they're probably going to finish top half, but certainly from a cup competition they could do anything and potentially go on and a decent run. Next game then, Clydebank 1, Beath Juniors 2. This one decided by that man, Carlo Monti, who we talked about just earlier. Free kick to seal it 2 minutes before the end of the game. It's a great win for Beath. We've talked about both these teams plenty of times in this podcast now. And Clydebank, obviously, recruited well. Beath, the previous season's champions, and it needed a bit of magic to split the sides.
Yeah, again, another a career appearance milestone. Obviously, Stephen Noble, a Beave, I guess, is he a legend icon?
Certainly. Oh,
certainly. Yeah, 500 appearances. Fair play to Stephen there. That's tremendous at any level of football these days. It's getting rarer and rarer. So, Beave, it was always going to be tough. We obviously rate Clydebank, and I certainly rate Beef as well. So it's one of those ones that you wish that it was further in the competition. Like, that would have made a brilliant final or a cracking semi-final or something, but they've drawn each other quite early, and Beef, I guess not surprisingly, have got the win there. But I suppose you could have said so the other way if it was Clydebank. I mean, I think we've talked about quality. Certainly I had trouble, I believe, in the last podcast or the podcast before to really explain why I think Beave are going to, why I chose Beave over the likes of Clydebank as champions. But there's just something there. There's just something there with Beave, and can't fully explain it apart from obviously the manager, I guess. But I do rate him off as well. So it really is tough for me to, it's just like obvious, it's just a gut feeling, an instinct of, I wouldn't surprise me to see Beave go further into this competition.
Looking at some of the results involving lower league teams again, we'll start quick run through of some results. Edinburgh Uni 1, Berwick Rangers 4, Cowdenbeath 2, Kilsyth 0, Linlithgow Rose 8, Newton Grange Star 0, Albion Rovers 3, West Park United 2, Calais Braves 3, Girvan 2, that was, I think, decided in extra time, and Bonnish United 2, Cumbernauld United 4. I guess that the one that stands out, Chris, there is that one that we just mentioned there, Cumbernauld United, a team probably in a bit of free fall at the moment, I would say, in the west of Scotland, getting a result against Bo'ness United.
Yeah, I suppose Bo'ness were in a wee bit of free fall before this cup game. Obviously, they got got back on track, but I think last week when they won a league game after losing, you know, a few in a row. I actually like Cumbernauld United. I don't know what's happening with them in terms of the league. I think they are a really decent team, and they've kind of obviously shown it in the against Bo'ness, obviously beating them and putting four past them. Especially, again, we talked about this away from home factor. I would have expected Bo'ness to be a wee bit better at home, but can't take any away from Cumbernauld there. It's a really good result. Is it a shock? For me, probably not in my mind in terms of how Bo'ness have been recently. Still a solid team, as I mentioned, but yeah, it's one of those weird ones because I think I might have mentioned this at the start of the season. I thought Cumbernauld United would do quite well in the respective division, so I'm not sure what's happening there, but it's one of those, isn't it, where it's a shock, but not really for me in my opinion.
I guess another one to talk about in that little group of games I mentioned there, Albion Rovers 3, West Park United 2. Now, there's what, six tiers between both teams. West Park are a fourth division with Scotland side. Albion Rovers in the Lowland League, just recently relegated from the SPFL League 2. Very, very tight affair. West Park obviously gave a good account of themselves in that game.
It's unreal. Unreal. I believe it was a game of sort of two halves, the old cliche where Albion dominated the first half and maybe took the foot off the gas. I believe West Park got the equaliser quite late. And Albion Rovers have been kind of on the ball, fortunate enough to obviously to go up and win the game right at the death, basically. So it's a bit of a scare for Albion Rovers. I mean, you've got to give full credit to West Park there for keeping it tight and coming out the second half and changing that game, because that could have been a real hiding if Albion Rovers continued to dominate that given the status between the teams, I guess. And I've a full credit to West Park for really fighting there. And it's maybe a wee bit of an eye-opener for Albion Rovers fans who are maybe don't look further down. They obviously they look at the low only because they're in it and they look at these teams, but it's maybe a wee bit of an eye-opener that actually there's really decent sides and teams that will give us games further down, you know, levels 6, 7, 8, 9, you know. So, yeah, fair play to West Park. Full credit to them. Are very unfortunate not to take Albion Rovers to at least extra time. But,
yeah
I'd expect Albion Rovers to win that, I guess. And they have, albeit surviving a late scare, I think.
I guess next one's a pretty routine win for East Kilbride. They're winning 6-1 against Mabel. Chris, East Kilbride, and nothing unsurprising there.
Yeah, not much to say. I mean, I think people got kind of tired with all the praise for East Kilbride for the, you know, sort of beginning of last season, I should say. We were praising them a lot and how they play. It's a different beast this year in terms of who they've got. Everyone's performing. You know, guys like Nathan Flanagan and Ryan Lockie. The squad's quality, come on. Hey, I mean, we're talking about obviously them going for the low league title and promotion and stuff. It wouldn't shock me if they were in the, you know, a South Challenge Cup final, third, fourth round of the Scottish Cup, the Lowland League Cup. Well, actually, they wouldn't be playing in the Lowland League Cup, I should say, if they were going for promotion. But yeah, East Kilbride, I would expect to be in
SPFL Trust Trophy as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they can make a run for that. I believe they've got a chance to make a run for that. Never mind the Lowland League Cup. The South Challenge Cup. I think they could. Two bits in that competition too. One we mentioned briefly earlier on in the roundup of the Lowland League team was Cowdenbeath 2, Kilsyth 0. Chris?
Yeah, Dylan Duncan, who recently moved to Clyde, recently went on loan to Cowdenbeath. I think that was his debut game and he's came on and scored 2. But great for Dylan. I think he's a really decent player, obviously getting the move from Glasgow Uni to Clyde's a really good testament to them. We often talk up Stirling Uni, for example, and their programme there, but Glasgow Uni, obviously, they've been producing players as well. But there's a bit of part of me that annoys me with that, and it's nothing to do with Dylan. It's to do with Clyde. I've probably not said too much on Clyde, but, I mean, they're horrible. I mean, bottom of the league, 2 points in however many games in League Two. They're probably going to get relegated. But they have this, they're so short-sighted in the way that they get these guys in, they loan them out, they release them. I mean, we've seen it with so many young players going to Glyde, and it really is annoying in terms of there's just no vision there. And it doesn't surprise me to see them in the state they're in. A massive dig at Clyde there, but I mean, come on. I mean, why are you getting these young players in if they're not to play for you? I know you're not good. To me, it's just a wasted move. I've seen it so many times with Clyde over the last sort of few years. They sign up these really good, talented players and they do nothing for a year and they just waste them. And then that could be their last chance to play in the SPFL. So Clyde, to be honest, I think they're a poor club. I think they're run poorly. If they come to a loan league, I don't think I'm going to be a fan, to be honest, unless they buck up their ideas and improve how they're managed. But you never know, they might spend the money in January and save themselves. But I'm really sick of some of these League Two sides and how they're run, and it just pisses me off. But then again, Albion Rovers, we turned the curve with Albion Rovers. So if Clyde do come down next year, might be a change in much, and who knows. But certainly I don't think they're a decently run club, given how they treat some of these younger players. And just really annoys me just from a player point of view. But Chris Miller going there, fair play to him. Hopefully he's a wee bit less short-sighted in terms of the coaching and whatnot. But yeah, Clyde, I'm not a big fan of Clyde. And at the moment, they're getting what they deserve in terms of being in League Two and bottom of that division. Too harsh.
So Chris isn't a fan of Clyde. I think we can tell that. If you've got any abuse for Chris, you're a Clyde fan, you're getting abuse, send it to Chris directly at RampantFM on Twitter. Don't send it to Catch Up, because that's Chris's views. I mean, I'm not a massive fan of Clyde either, but
I was maybe a bit too harsh there.
I think everyone's entitled to their opinion. Chris, that you're more than welcome to have that opinion on Clyde.
I've maybe touched on it with guys like, obviously, Paul Kennedy coming and leaving Clyde and coming to Broomhill. It's like there's no vision there. I mean, let's face it. I mean, even in the west of Scotland nowadays, you buy up youth players to maybe sell them on. There's nothing like that in the SPFL, apart from if you tried that with Spartans and say, oh, we want this player for free or whatever, they'd laugh at you. Probably the same with Celtic, probably the same with Bonnyrigg. I mean, there's so many League 2 teams and League 1 teams that are just not clued up to that sort of business, and that's what makes them suffer in terms of their money and whatever else and the product on the pitch. But yeah, Clyde are horribly mismanaged, in my opinion.
Aye, well, so, as I say, send all your direct help to Chris. He's obviously not a fan. And we look forward to seeing him in the Lowland League next season, because that will make it more interesting, I'm sure. But we've got a few more games to talk about, and one involving another Lowland League side, Broomhill 0, Irvine Meadow 1. I honestly, when I saw the result on Twitter, I went, fucking hell. Didn't expect that to happen. Irvine Meadow struggling. Genuinely believe they'll get relegated from the Lowland League. New manager just came in, Martin Ferry, which when I looked at that appointment and goes like, I mean, I had to Google him like to find out who he was, and I didn't really find anything in Google. And I was a bit shocked, and I was like, well, fair play, but first game in charge, got a result against, I mean, what we've talked about, a decent Broomhill side. But yeah, fair play to Irvine Meadow, got to say it. Caught me off guard, this one, for sure.
You have to know where to look. I mean, I'm so sort of familiarised myself on where to look for information on players. Obviously, I've been doing it for the last few months. It is brain-numbing trying to find information about certain people. So, I believe it was an own goal. Very, very scrappy sort of own goal that done it. But, I mean, if you're Meadow, you're going to take it, given a new manager, his first game in charge. And Broomhill, I don't know, I wouldn't say they're in a bad way, obviously. I think they've started the season okay, but I mean, that's a complete shock for them to lose that against an Irvine Meadow team that I've not been great, as you mentioned. But I think when there's a new manager in charge, I do believe there is a bit of a spur on. Obviously, players want to keep their places. There's a lot more energy, I guess, from them, so it could be a part of that. I think the interesting result will be the first few games in the west of Scotland, and not so much a cup game. But Broomhill will be disappointed. I think it was Craig McEwan that was getting interviewed rather than Swifty. I don't know if Swifty was either too angry or what Swifty would have been, but a huge disappointment for Broomhill, considering Broomhill are another team that I think they like to get further in cup competition. So yeah, they'll be disappointed, but I suppose the focus can then go on to maybe the Scottish Cup, for example, or in the league. But yeah, fair play to Meadow for a win there. But I do believe it was kind of scrappy, as I say, a own goal being the difference. But well done to Martin Ferry.
And I guess the Gretna fans have been waiting probably the best part of an hour for this one. What I said about this is probably not repeatable either. But Gretna 2, Darvel 1, two teams that we've talked about plenty on this podcast over the last few years, Darvel being Darvel and Gretna being a team that we'd say are on that slide in the doldrums at the moment. But took Darvel to extra time. Darvel, I think, got David Syme sent off inside 90 minutes, and it ended up one each. And Gretna got a penalty. Yep. Midway through the extra time and got the go-ahead goal, I guess, and got the result. I mean,
applaud them, yeah.
Applaud Gretna, because we have said all the things about Gretna on this podcast, and let's not make any mistakes. Those things that we've said about Gretna were absolutely warranted, but this is it's a fantastic result. Darvel are a great side in terms of the personnel that they have. Are they the Darvel of old? Probably not, but it's still a big result for Gretna, and they have to use this for me now as a catalyst or a springboard to the rest of their season. It's great for them to be in the hat, but did not see this coming at all.
It's a brilliant result. And I tell you what makes it even more brilliant is the fact that Darvel went ahead in that game. And Gretna have been in that situation before. They could have crumbled. One thing I was really impressed with Gretna, from what I saw on the highlights and stuff, was the work rate. The boys were working really, really hard. And you could tell it towards the latter stages of the game and into extra time, because Darvel were picking up really, you know, yellow cards here, there and everywhere. And it's simply because they couldn't keep up with Gretna's work rate. And that's how hard these boys were working for. There was something in the air, I guess. I was probably a wee bit disappointed in the first goal, and not so much from a Gretna side, but Robbie Ibison, who I really rate as a player, and does well for Gretna. But it was a really poor sort of tame shot. But he's put it right into the corner of the net, and the keeper and the midfield of Darvel will be disappointed with that one, because they should have done a lot better. In fairness to the keeper, he might have been a bit put off with the folk in front of him. He might not have been seen it, but he hits it, and it's not like the most powerful shot. I actually thought, okay, it's a play shot, but come on, guys. I mean, it was literally almost like slow motion it going in. It's like, how is no one clearing that, seeing it? So it was disappointing from Darvel, but yeah, the penalty, obviously David Syme getting sent off. I think it was in the sort of 70th odd minute or something like that. But that's down to Gretna's work rate. Honestly, they were running all over the park. I think David Cox, obviously, who's the captain now, I think, of Gretna, and he's doing really well. Lewis Bell, Julian, who they've signed recently, and sorry, a bit of a sidetrack, but Scoutables, they are one of the teams that I think have got produced like four players for the Lone League now, so they're doing really well in terms of getting these players to clubs. Alfie Robinson, who's obviously at Broomhill, was previously involved. Chris Amponza, that's now at Civil. Obviously, I mentioned Julian, that's at Gretna, but I really like what they're doing. Lasana, a young guy, that's at Gala as well. So I really, really enjoy what they're doing. But Gretna, like what you said, mate, they have to work on this. They have to build on it. They have to realise, okay, it's a cup game. They have a massive Scottish Cup game against Musselburgh, who can score goals. So they'll have to be very, very disciplined next Saturday, or they're going to get thrashed again. But I love the work rate. I really do love the work rate. I love what Gills was saying, kind of motivate the boys. Like exactly what we are saying. You need to use this as a catalyst to change. Tough game against Musselburgh, and no matter what happens in that game, if you get beat 4-5-0, which, to be fair, I think some Brough fans are going to be expecting, because they've been scoring so many goals lately. It's a cup game. You need to focus on the league as well. You know what I mean? Get these results, play that way. Determination, a wee bit of heart, a wee bit of skill, a wee bit of passion, probably a wee bit more than passion, and then you'll be all right. You'll be all right. But the result has to come. The results have to come in the league, is what I'm trying to say. It's a really great cup game, a really great cup result. But these results you need in the league for Gretna to be safe this season.
I'm going to say that the anything we have said about Gretna is because we're calling it as we see it, and we've always said we don't want them to be poor, and we don't want them to suffer, and we want them to do well. And we said if they do good things, we will talk about them, and that's why we're talking about them in this podcast today, because that's a great result. If Gretna had been scudded 8-0, 5-0 for Darvel, we probably wouldn't even bother talking about the game. Yeah. You know, they'd been glossed over, similar to what kind of Linlithgow Rose and Newark Green Star was. It was 8-0, and we expected Linlithgow Rose to win that game pretty comfortably, and it did happen. So yeah, absolutely got to build on it, no doubt about that. If they don't, then it's just the same old game as far as I'm concerned. But a couple more games to talk about then. Arniston Rangers 5, Preston Athletic 2. A great result for Arniston, Chris.
Yeah, they've been doing quite well recently. Preston Athletic are a team that many expect to be kind of top of the East of Scotland First Division. And Arniston, I think that result's been coming for them. They've been playing well recently. I think they won the derby. Yeah, it's been coming for them. Really good cup result. Niall Kemp, who's been fantastic in terms of his goal scoring for Arniston recently. Quality result against a really good Preston side. A Preston side that are probably more of a East of Scotland Premier side than a First Division side, I would say, in terms of their talent. So really good result for Arniston in the cup there. All East clash, but yeah, one that certainly stood out for me in terms of the cup.
Another one that just clocked there, Chris. Benburb 0, Rutherglen Glencairn 3. Benburb started the season quite strongly in the West Scotland Premier League after getting promoted, but Rutherglen, again, our team started pretty well in the first division. They are currently sitting top, but a very good result for Rutherglen, 3-0 and a clean sheet.
Talking about the cup this week, but how did the Buffs get on at the weekend?
Went to Vale Leaven and got a 2-1 win over there, and probably made it a bit hard work for ourselves, I would have said. Our third division side, wee bit stuffy in the first half. We got two players sent off, one for us and one for them, and an altercation. Young Sam Duncan came on for his debut for us, or first start certainly, and within half an hour he's kind of done well. He can win the ball, got in a bit of a tangle on the touchline. He's kind of kicked out of the boy because he'd been tangled up, and the boy's then punched in the face. Punched him in the nose or something like that. It's all ended up in a bit of a handbag. So the ref sent both players off. They've then kind of went down towards the changing room, and there's been a bit of back and forth said between their coach or manager, and it's all ended up a bit of a rammy. Our players have ran from our dugout, and their players ran from their dugout, and it's all ended up a bit messy. And yeah, it was a
baseball fight, was it?
Yeah, it was weird. Man, it was weird. The weird place. It was very strange. Their fans weren't the most welcoming people. I was filming the game from the same side as the fans, and was very in amongst the fans. And I mean, I don't mind people having banter and stuff like that at football, and having a laugh and having a shout and being passionate about their team. That's fine. But some of the shouts were just rubbish. You know, it was just like they weren't being realistic at all about the game. One guy was complaining about something, and I just kind of laughed at his comments. He turns around and calls me a fat bastard, and it's just like, what are you doing, man? It's like, I'm fine. Like, I mean, call me a fat bastard is just too far. You know, that's just like, it's one of those ones. It's football. I say, I'll have a laugh and a joke with anyone. I put myself in that position to film the game, and that's fine. I can accept that. But I don't mind the back and forth. It's all part of the fun of the game. But when it gets into that kind of weird, kind of messy, kind of personal stuff, it's a bridge too far for me. I'm glad I don't need to go back to Vale leaving anytime soon. It wasn't the most nicest place on the planet. Struggled to find a toilet at one point, which was interesting. But yeah, just glad to get in the next round of the cup tie. The cup, as far as we're concerned, we made it hard work for ourselves and kind of got away with one by getting a penalty, I guess. I mean, it was a penalty, but absolutely stonewaller, but we got a penalty to get us the second goal, and they got one back to make it a wee bit edgy towards the end. But yeah, just happy to be in the next round of the cup at 7 o'clock tonight. Hopefully get a nice draw. Not sure when the next round of the cup's to be played, but certainly hopefully get a decent draw. I'm obviously now on kind of baby watch. Wife is what, 3.5 weeks to due date, so we're keeping a close eye on that situation. So hopefully the cup's not to be played for a few more weeks after our baby's due, and I can still get along to whoever we're meant to be playing in the next round. But yeah, glad to get through. That's the main thing.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what it is, Ben, about some fans. I've had very little bother at football, but I'm like a big guy. Like I'm quite tall and quite built as well. So yeah, maybe it's that. But yeah, I rarely get bothered at football. I'm not as vocal, I suppose, that, you know, like for example, if I was at Tottenham, I'd probably get chucked out within 10 minutes, you know. But if I'm like even at Kelty or Spartans when I was working for them, I wasn't that vocal, I guess. So I just sort of laugh at some of the comments sometimes. So. But I don't know what it is. I just keep my head down, I guess. Most of the time at non-league, obviously, I'm a part of the official catch-up, so some people do know who I am. So I didn't want to make an arse of myself either, you know what I mean? So there's that as well. So I keep myself, my nose down and out of trouble and whatever else. But yeah, there is some arseholes at football, you just can tell.
It's weird, man. I don't mind the banter and a laugh. There's a line, you know what I mean? It's one of those ones. like you say, I kind of laughed at a few comments. It was a goal wasn't given because it hadn't crossed the line. The fans were convinced it was over the line, but you couldn't tell from where we were. There was absolutely no way you could see the line to be able to tell it was over. And they all got a wee bit upset about that. Then the penalty, they were a bit upset about that because it wasn't a penalty. But it was. I mean, the player, one of the fans actually even said to me, yeah, it was a penalty. And then like 15 minutes later said it wasn't. And it was like, make your mind up, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, it was weird. It was a weird sequence of events. And I was on my own as well. I mean, none of the rest of the media team were there yesterday, so I was kind of trying to do it all myself. And you kind of have a tag on your back when you wear a Buffs tracksuit with KRTV on the front. Do you know what I mean? So you probably do make a target for yourselves a lot of ways. And yeah, that's what it is. I'm glad to see the back of it and got home. I guess the alternative was to go to Campbelltown yesterday. That was the other team we could have had in the cup, though. So I guess it wasn't as bad, the travel and things like that. So we got home in a fairly reasonable time and we're in the next round. I'm just about to go and edit the highlights, which will be obviously interesting because there was a few contentious decisions and some goals and some chances for both teams.
Looking forward to them. I'll watch them later.
They'll be out later on tonight, I'm sure.
Did you get the red card and whatnot?
Oh, I've got it was right in front of me, to be fair. So you see it. I mean, then you absolutely see the punch to the face. I mean, the boy claimed he didn't punch him, but I mean, and that was what we argued about, me and the fans, is the fact he was like, why is your guy getting sent off? I mean, because he literally punched him in the nose. You know, it was like clear as day. And our guy, probably naivety's probably cost him in terms of he's a young lad and he's kind of got stuck and he's kind of, at the time it looked a stonewall red card. When you watch it back, you go, maybe he could have got away with booking both lads. But I think because the guy's punched him, it's like he's forced his hand a little bit in terms of the ref got it spot on as far as I was concerned. He didn't, the big decisions he got right, I think that was the important bit for the referees. I think it's hard to be a referee at this level. We've always said that, especially in games where you've got no lines people with.
Yeah.
To support you. You've got to make decisions on your own a lot of time. And certainly,
It is fight or flight as well sometimes. If someone punches you in the face, I mean, my instant reaction without even thinking is probably to punch them back like right away. You know what I mean? So I think that's, you know, you're not even thinking at that point in time, eh? So if you are reacting to that, it literally is just how your brain works. You know,
it's a weird one. He's reacted to our player kicking, to be fair. So it's actually his reaction rather than...
Right.
So, but yeah, stonewall red card is if you want to get one. With Sam, a red card, and probably is. It's unfortunate for the boy in his first game, but he'll come back. He's a good player. He's young. It happened last season against the Musselburgh. He brought on a young boy from the 20s, and he got sent off for a tackle fairly early on into his first game of the team. So it's just experience. These boys will learn from that experience as well, and that'll be, I guess, a good thing in the future. But it made the game a bit different, a 10v10 for the best part of 60 minutes, you know. And we got there, we brought in Gavin Miller, and he made the difference in terms of our team. He comes on, he gives you the pace and the trickery that he's got, and he's able to get on. I mean, he scored a header. He's about 5'2" and he scored a header, but fair play to him. But yeah, as I said, happy to be there in the next round. I think it's at 7 o'clock tonight on YouTube, so I don't know when this podcast will be out, but if you're maybe the draw will be made by then, but who knows. But that pretty much rounds up for us on the official catch up this week. Thanks for listening and watching. As always, get us on all your podcast platforms, the official catch up, get us on YouTube, do the like, do subscribe, ring the notification bell, all those good things. As I said before, it doesn't cost you a penny. We do this for free, and it means more to us if you do that for us to build our channel and build the success of the podcast. Get us on Twitter at the official catch up. And if you are a Clyde fan, send all your abuse directly to Chris at Rampant FM. I don't think I'll have any beef, but if you do want to beef me, it's at Mr. Ben Grant on Twitter. As always, until next week, we'll catch you then. Cheers.